Good morning, Drift Run Church. Good to be with everybody back in God's house this morning. You know what? Greg had said something during his teaching this morning about the infallible Word of God, and that is exactly where we're going to go to today. And if I ever stop preaching out of that, you know what? You remind me, because you know what? If we don't preach out of God's Word, I'll tell you what, we just need to hang her up. Am I right? I'm going to be in 1 Samuel. I'm going to read from the last chapter of 1 Samuel. If you want to go with me over there, I'm going to read the first six verses. That'll be Samuel 31, 1 Samuel chapter 31. And it says this: Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down and slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Meshadashu and Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto the armor bearer, Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men that same day together. Let us pray. Fathers, Lord, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Father, just asking you, Father, for guidance and direction here this morning. Father, I ask you, Father, that, Lord, that the word would go out the way that you would have it. I pray that hearts would be opened here this morning. Father, we love you. We know, Father, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that, Father, we cannot do nothing without you, Lord, and we need you each and every day, Lord. And, Father, we will give you the praise for it all, and we ask it in your Son's name, Jesus. And amen. 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 There's probably not a one of us in here who hasn't made a wrong turn in their life whenever they've been traveling. You know what? How many of you have traveled and went on trips someplace and you've made wrong turns? Let me see your hand. Oh, yes. I think all of us in here have done. I'm notorious for making wrong turns. I am notorious. I have gotten lost even with my GPS in the car. My global positioning spouse. In the car with me. How many of you have one of those? I got to point to this, please. I'm not standing up here trying to be a comic about this, but this is something I want to get to a point across. The title of my sermon this morning is Wrong Turns. But anyway, we have a GPS that's in our car, and on her phone she has a GPS, and on my phone I have a GPS. So we're going down the road one day, the car is on, her phone is on the GPS, and she's talking to me and saying, hold on here a minute, that's too many women at one time telling me what direction to go. And I go brain freeze, and you know, even a drool running out of my mouth and just kind of staring, you know what I mean? So I said, no, this can't be like that. I can positively say, without any trepidation this morning, you know what? That I have taken more than my share of wrong turns in my life. Now, when I've taken the wrong turn, the GPS, which is a global positioning system, will come on and it'll try to get me back on track. You know what I'm saying? It'll try to get me back here. It says, if there's no place to turn, it'll say, please turn around and go back. Or it'll try to get me to the right road to go. But that's what that thing will do. And it'll keep doing that. The trouble would come if I deliberately ignored its correction. Am I right? If that thing told me I'm going to Ravenswood, and I stopped here at this stop sign, and it said, take a right, and I took a left, what would happen? Would I make it to Ravenswood? I wouldn't make it. Because I would deliberately not mind what that thing is trying to tell me. And it would try to tell me to get to the streets I needed to go. If you ignored the commands to turn around and go the right direction, you would be lost. Saul was a man who had great potential. We're going to read about Saul today. We're going to read about Saul. We're going to go through 1 Samuel. I'm going to go all through that today, and I want you to go with me with it through not only this, but God had made great promises to Saul. He had made great promises. But when we look at the end of Saul's life, when we look there, we see that somewhere, somehow, something tragically went wrong. It did. Saul had taken the wrong turns that they were there. He had taken them. And as a young man, listen to me, the prophet Samuel had went to Saul and sent to anoint him. He was to be the leader and the king of God's people. That's who Saul was supposed to be. And Samuel. And after the prophet Saul anointed Samuel king in chapter 10, I want you to turn to chapter 10 with me if you wouldn't care, please. Because we're going to read through all this today, and maybe I'll get to point to you. Chapter 10 of 1 Samuel, and he went to give him instructions. Now let's read 1 Samuel 10, 9 and 11. And it tells us this. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, came upon Saul, and he prophesied among them. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, Saul had it going on. Do you get me? The Spirit of God was leading him. His heart was miraculously changed. Do you see that there? He had people saying, what happened to this guy? Well, as a matter of fact, they were astonished at the change. I'm here to tell you, whenever the Lord come into my heart, people marveled at the change. Amen? I'm here to tell you. They marveled at the change of what happened to Dave Long back then because of the way that I was. I'm here to tell you, if you are saved, they're going to marvel at the change that is in your life. They will marvel. These people did the same to Saul here. They marveled at the change that it came upon Saul. And as we read the end of the story, if we get to the end of it, though, you know, we see him away from God, his life ending in a way that God had never intended. Saul's life stands as a strict warning to you and to me this morning. It stands as a strict warning to us this morning. His life offers us some valuable lessons. And I'm going to go through these lessons today. I want to go through them. When we look at Saul's life, we see a series of wrong turns that he never corrected in his life. Do we see that? Greg had mentioned something earlier about last Thursday. He had said something that the Spirit of God had just totally went after him about. Just totally went after him about. How many of you been there? I've been there. The Spirit of God will convict you. And it will take and try to woo you in the right direction. Now, I'm here to tell you, if you want to totally ignore him and go down your own path, you know what? This is the lessons of what I want to talk about today whenever we're talking about Saul. But decision is something every one of us can do. But the real failure in all of us is the failure to correct them. Am I right? We're all going to make mistakes. I'm here to tell you, don't think for one moment. We're in human flesh. We're not out of this world yet. And I'm here to tell you, there's not a one of us in here that are not going to take the wrong turns in our life once in a while. We're just going to do it. If Saul's life is going to help you and I, the first thing that we must realize is, the first thing we need to establish is that we're all going to make wrong turns. Am I right? None of us that's in here is perfect. I'm guaranteeing you, you're looking at an imperfect human being right here in your pastor this morning. Do you understand that? You're looking at an imperfect human being up here this morning. I am saved by grace, and that is all that I can stand and claim this morning. That I am saved by the grace of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was nothing that I did on my own, Jamie. It is nothing that I will ever be able to hold on to my own. It's only through the grace of God. Saul's crime was not simply the fact that he made some wrong turns in his life. His crime was that when he made the bad decisions, he did not take and try to correct the wrong turn and get back on the right path. We can all look and see things in our past, can we not? There's not a one of us in here. Can we not see things in our past we regret? We wish we could go back and change? We do. All of us have went down that path. Well, there is. In fact, when we think about the Bible is full of people who took wrong turns. It all started in the Garden of Eden, am I right? It all started, if we look at Genesis 3:6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And I'm here to tell you this morning, from that point on, the wrong turns just kept on coming, even to this day. Can you say amen on that? Even to this day. If you ever want to read a book, if you ever want to read about the human mistakes and the history, you only have to go as far as the Bible. I've said this on many occasions. The reason that I believe that the Word of God is infallible, Greg, is because of all the warts that are in the Bible. God never took a one of them out of there. You know what? If it was man-made and man was wanting to write that book, Belinda, he would have made it just as perfect and made it look so good on mankind and so good on him as he could have made it. God never did that. That's why I believe the Word of God is truth and is infallible, because we know for a fact, if you read down through the Bible, it is full of people that had a lot of warts. Amen? So be prepared, you know, so be prepared to make some wrong turns in your life. Be prepared. You won't get through life without making a few. And the real problem is, whenever you make them, do remember, if you make them, make sure that if the Lord's dealing with you, to correct those wrong turns. Make sure that you do. You can expect to make some of them. It's not the wrong turns in our lives that destroys us. It's not correcting that will. The question, when you know I make them, are willing to confess them and do something about them. You know what? Are we willing? Praise God. Greg said, I did what I did. He confessed that. Don't think for a minute, you know what? You may be doing something. Don't think for a minute that you're hiding it, because you're not hiding that from God. You will never hide it from Him. You may hide it from your spouse. You may hide it from me. You may hide it from your family, your workers. But I'm telling you, if you have taken a wrong turn, God knows it. Right now, this morning, as we're sitting here this morning, He knows it. Now let's look at some of the wrong turns that Saul had taken and see if any of them may apply to our lives. Number one, the wrong turn that Saul made was Saul was not being patient to do it God's way. God has His way in His own time, and His way of doing things. You know what? We've all heard the scripture in Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. I've read this, I've preached on this many times. Most of you know this scripture by heart. And it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Even though we may have heard that many times, we've heard it many times. How many of us still get impatient when things don't work out in our time frame? I'm guilty. Amen? How about you? I'm guilty. Whenever things don't work out in my time frame, I get impatient. God's trying to work things out. He's trying to work them out. But you know what? He's wanting us to be patient. God had called Saul to go and fight his enemies, but he wanted to do it his way. Saul wanted it to do it his way. God wanted it to do it his way, but Saul wanted it to do his. And not Saul's way. In 1 Samuel 10 and 8, and this is what it says right there. It said, "And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer sacrifice of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." God said to Saul through the prophet Samuel, "This is the way I want it done, Saul. This is what Samuel said. God is speaking. This is the way that I want it done." But Saul was impatient. And he did it. He did it his way. Let's look over in 1 Samuel 13, 8, and 9. I know I'm going through a lot of scriptures more, but I believe it's important that we look at this. 13 8 through 9. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering. Listen, but right after Saul did this, you see, Saul got impatient. Samuel hadn't showed up. Saul got impatient. He said, "I'm going to go ahead and do the burnt offering myself. I'm not waiting on Samuel to do it. I'm going to do it." So right after that, instead of doing it God's way, Samuel comes to announce that God's time has come. God's time has come. And in verse 10 through 13, it goes on to tell us, "And it came to pass that as soon as he had made it into the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, 'What hast thou done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, that thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever.'" If he would have just listened, if he hadn't have got impatient, if he had just listened, we would have been talking about Saul the same way we talked about David. But he did not. He got impatient. We see the first wrong turn in Saul. God's time was just around the corner. It was just there when he made his first wrong move. Now it happened as soon as he finished presenting the burnt offering. How many of us have made some wrong turns like that from being impatient? Amen? How many of finding out that all we had to do was just wait just a little bit longer? Just a little bit longer. And you know what? I wonder how many times, listen to me, someone has married the wrong person, taken the wrong job, stayed home when they should have left. I can go on and on with this list, folks. How many times have we done that? How many times we become impatient and we want to do it our way? We want to do it the way that we think that it's best. You know what? We want to do it just exactly the way we want it. If we'd have waited just a little bit longer, Patty, just a little bit longer, God would have had a better plan. Amen? Saul didn't do that. That was his first wrong turn. And if you notice in all this stuff, you don't see him repenting. He's just sorry that he got caught. Isaiah 30:18. Remember this the next time you're impatient. This might be a good scripture to mark. Isaiah 30:18. "And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you." Now listen to this. "For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all that wait for him." Do you get that? Blessed or happy are all that wait for him. The next time, and this falls upon your preacher as well, because I guarantee you, I'm one of the most impatient people there are. And when I get impatient, I've got to remember that scripture. You know what? I've got to be, blessed are they that wait for. Let's look at what I think was Saul's next wrong turn. Saul's next wrong turn was being partially obedient to God. When we are only partially obedient to God, we're not obedient at all. Do you know that? When we are only partially obedient to God, we're not obedient at all. And you say, well, let's look at Samuel 15:3. And this is God telling Samuel to tell Saul this. "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infants and sucklings, ox and sheep and camels and ass." That's what it says. Then it goes over here to 15:9, and this is what happens. "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. You see what God, you see the difference here? You see what God told him to utterly destroy them, the Amalekites. If you read the first couple of verses before that, it gives you a reason why God told them, if you're thinking God is unjust, why that they did that. And plus there's other things that I can't get into this morning. It takes a long study about this. But why that they told them to destroy them. Listen, in verse 11 it goes on to say, "And it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and had performed not my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." In verse 13 and 14, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord." You see what Samuel's saying? I have performed the commandments. I have done what you told me to do. And Samuel asked him, "Then what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ear and the lowering of the oxen when I hear?" You'll notice that Saul thought he wasn't being disobedient, but actually he was being disobedient. There's many who believe that they are being partially obedient is being obedient. 1 Samuel 15:22 tells us this: "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold," remember this, "behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." I'm here to tell you this morning, don't be partially obedient to what God wants you to do. Be wholehearted. Put your whole heart, your whole soul into it. If you know what, don't just be partially obedient, because we are led down too many wrong turns whenever we do that. We find here, Saul was led down the wrong turn. He thought he was being obedient, and yet he did not do everything God had commanded him to do. There's others in the Bible as well, by the way, who were partially obedient. You remember the rich young ruler in Mark 10? It says here, "When Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." What's it say? "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." I'm here to tell you, God wasn't there just making the man give away everything he had for a reason. Jesus knew the man's heart. He knew it. He knew that he would only be partially obedient. He knew that he would, you know, I think right before that he told him, he said, "Listen, you know what, I keep the commandments. I do all these things, God." But Jesus knew that he wasn't totally obedient. How about King Agrippa over in Acts 26? When he told Paul, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You see what? He was almost obedient. I'm here to tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit may be dealing with you to be saved. Don't confuse the conviction of the Holy Spirit with salvation. Amen? Don't confuse that. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you, He's wanting you to make that step. He's wanting you to make that commitment. As Greg said, believe in faith and come this way and accept Jesus Christ into your heart. Don't go part way with it, because being part way saved is not saved at all. Paul didn't see it as nearly making, you know what? God didn't see Saul as nearly just almost making a turn. Am I right? He's seen it, you know, you could say he made a complete wrong turn. If you're going out here again, I know this is a bad example, but you know what? You're supposed to turn left or supposed to turn right to go home, and you go straight, where are you going to end up at? You're going to end up right in that creek over there, right? Listen, you don't partially make a turn. You got to make the turn. Amen? You got to make the turn. God didn't see Saul that way. Another wrong turn that I thought that I brought, that I think Saul's demise, that brought about his demise was, you know what, his disloyalty and his jealousy towards those, you know what, to the ones who had helped him. I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. Remember, when he started, I read it to you about Saul had a changed heart and how the Spirit of God came upon him. Remember I read that to you? Now listen to 1 Samuel 18. And it said this, and it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but his kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. I want you to mark that. The evil spirit from God does not mean that God gave him an evil spirit. What it's saying is that God allowed the evil spirit to come upon him. And he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, and as other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. I want to tell you something. The next verse goes on to say that he had thought, and what he's prophesying about was he was going to take that javelin and stick David to the wall with it if he could. Saul was being disloyal to his family, to his friends. You know what? David had just got back from killing Goliath. He just got back from helping Israel get out of the hands of defeat. And Saul was not grateful for that. And when he had been making a tragic wrong turn, whenever he became jealous, whenever he became disloyal to those who actually loved him and wanted nothing but good for him. Listen, we can do the same thing in our lives. We can do the same thing. We see it many a time in families. Even Saul's own son, it says, Jonathan, it says here, was expendable. In 1 Samuel 20, 32 and 33, and Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What has he done? He was talking to him about David. And Saul cast a javelin at him, at his own son, to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Who in here would agree with me this morning that Saul had made a lot of wrong turns up to this point, right? Who would agree with me? I believe he'd made a lot of wrong turns. Who would also agree with me this morning whenever I tell you that I believe that if he would have heeded the warnings and turned around, I believe by the grace of God, God would have forgiven him. Amen? But Saul didn't do it. He didn't do it. Now let's look at another thing. A look at David's life and the major wrong turns that David had taken. And what he committed were far worse than Saul. Am I right? Just think about this for a minute. And he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Then he had Bathsheba's wife, or Bathsheba's husband, sent out to war and had him murdered, more or less, to cover up the sin that he had done. And that's not the only wrong turn that David did in his time. Remember, in raising his children, remember he had one of his sons that raped his sister, and David didn't discipline him. He had another son who killed that one, and David still didn't, and murdered his brother, and he went unpunished. And then you remember David numbered Israel whenever he wasn't supposed to number Israel. The difference between David and Saul is this, though. David went to God in broken repentance when he made the wrong turn. Amen? If you make a wrong turn, please, I beg you, go to God in bitter repentance and get it right. Don't keep going down that road without repentance. Don't keep going down that way without repentance. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. If he had not repented, if David had not repented, I believe God would have taken his life. Compare that to the way Saul did. And Saul, you know, disobeyed God, and he blamed Samuel, he blamed the armies, he blamed the Philistines, he blamed everyone but himself. Folks, if you make a wrong turn, it is on you. It's not on the preacher. It's not on your spouse. It's not on anybody else around you. It is on you to get it corrected. In Psalms, David shows us just how it's done. If you ever want to know about repentance, Mark Psalms 51, because that is the repentance chapter. That is the repentance chapter. This is after he had done this with Bathsheba, after all this had happened. And I want to read to you what David said. Psalms 51, 1 through 4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I have acknowledged my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. You know what he's saying right there, what David said? My sins are always before me. God will forgive you, but you may never forget what you've done. David was not going to forget what he had done. Against you, and I want you to look at this too. David, what David did, yeah, was wrong against Uriah and against Bathsheba. But look where David put the ultimate, where he ultimately sinned at. And that's every one of us here this morning, folks. Against you only have I sinned. He's talking to God. And done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Psalm 51, 10 and 11. David went on to say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away. Did you get this? Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Saul's greatest fear was that his sin would be found out. David's greatest fear was that God would take his presence from him. I'm here to tell you that is my greatest fear this morning. I want God's presence in my life day in and day out. I want to be what he wants me to be. Your wrong turns don't have to be fatal. We understand that this morning? Everybody in here, I don't know where you're at, but your wrong turns do not have to be fatal this morning. God knows where you're going. God going to make some mistakes, but praise God, he has made a way that we can get those turns corrected this morning. If I'm going to Parkersburg and I take a right and head towards Charleston, I can correct it, can't I? I can turn around and go the other way. You can this morning too. When we do make wrong turns, we're looking for brokenness. God is looking for brokenness. Ryan, you say it all the time. You were broken one time. God's looking for brokenness and repentance in our lives, not arrogance, not trying to blame. David summed it all up when he said this in Psalms 51, 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Praise God this morning. Those are the things that God don't... Those are the things that God wants from all of us. A broken and a contrite heart. Are you there this morning? Are you there? Are you to that point in your life where you made some wrong turns and you think, you know what? There's no hope, there's hope. I'm here to tell you, there's hope. Amen. There's hope. As long as there's breath in your body, there is hope. I say this, I'll preach it, I'll keep on preaching it. God is a loving God. If God did not love, his son would have not had to come to that cross. He could have wiped out this human beings off this planet a long time ago. But he loves us. And he wants us to spend where? An eternity with him in heaven. What a thought. What a thought. If you made some wrong turns, they come and get a song this morning. If you made wrong turns this morning, I ask you, come. Come this morning. Step out. If the Spirit is dealing with you this morning, step out.